just welcome you to be on your feet as we worship the Lord together. Father, we thank you that you are good and you are faithful, Lord. We thank you for this new year that we have to worship you, this new year that we have to bring you praise, this new year that we have to see what you're going to do, Lord, in our lives and through our lives, Father, to those around us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a stronghold in times of trouble. Lord, we thank you that you are a refuge and a shelter. We thank you that you are good and you are faithful. So we lift up your name this morning, Jesus. You're the one who's worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise. So we thank you, Lord, that you would come and inhabit our praises this morning, that you would come and be with us, that we could come and dwell at your house, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have welcomed us into the holy place by the blood of your Son, Jesus, Lord, that cleanses us, that washes us clean. We thank you, Lord, that you are here in the midst of us. Lord, we welcome you this morning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We welcome you, Jesus, to have your place on the throne in our lives, in our hearts, Lord, in our minds. Father, in every area that we would see you high and lifted up. He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He is roaring with power and fighting. Bow before you. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. Your blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before you.
Fighting our battles, and every knee will bow.
that again. Day and night, night and day, let it to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God.
Thank you. your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
You tore the veil. You made a way.
look to the cross and the empty tomb this morning. Oh, the empty tomb this morning, 'cause it's finished. Oh, it's finished. Oh, he has finished the work. It is done. It is done. There's an empty tomb. There's an empty tomb because he's overcome. And he's seated high above. Oh, you are seated high above. You are seated high above. Oh, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. Give us eyes to see.
caught in the stream of life, in the pain and the sorrow. Be washed away in the waves of your mercy, as He cries out to
Happy New Year. It's the first chance I've had to wish anybody here a Happy New Year. 2024. Thank you, Lord. We're going to enter a time of communion. I want to share I love that song, that last song. I mean, I like all the songs we did today. Good job, guys. There's just something that's very special and unique about that song for me. I think there's just something that's beautifully unlocked in the process of singing Scripture. You know, all of the worship songs that we sing have some element of Scripture tied to it, or some characteristic of God tied to it. That's what makes it a worship song. But when you're singing out specific scriptures, that almost that whole entire song is from Isaiah. There's just something that's beautifully unlocked in that process. And I think that's one of the reasons I enjoy Psalms so much, is because when David wrote many of the Psalms, they were actually lyrics to songs. And there's a song that I want to read some of the lyrics to you to this morning as we enter this time of communion. It's a song that I think we're familiar with, but I honestly, I'm not sure we've ever done it here in this house. It's called So Will I. And I don't think I'll read the whole song to you, but it starts off with God of creation there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a single fire of grace. If creation sings your praise, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain. no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say, every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. And there's a lot more to, there's a lot more lyrics, but Psalm 19 starts with, all of creation tells of the glory of God. And I was thinking about that line in here where it says, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. I think this kind of hit me a little bit harder this week because we just got back from Arizona. And if you've ever had a chance to go out west, the skies out there are pretty amazing. But as I was reflecting on that a little bit, one of my favorite seasons in Ohio is fall, when the leaves start turning. You have all those beautiful colors. And it's absolutely, it's just every single time it amazes me that I've grown so accustomed to what's normally there, which if you're in Ohio, it's a lot of greenery. But then that's short season where the colors change. You actually see what it's capable of bringing forth. And it's not something that you see regularly, right? Like if the trees were that color all the time, you would probably take that for granted. But to watch the process of the leaves turning, you get to see what it's capable of becoming, right? And so I was thinking about that and creation and reflecting on Psalms 19 and then just kind of in my mind going back to the desert and watching the sunsets. And I just, it's just every single time you can see the unique fingerprint of God on creation. And here's what I feel like I want to step into this morning with communion, is that with every single piece of creation, there's a unique element that shows his glory. And that includes each one of us as a part of his creation. That each and every single one of us have this unique thing about us that represents his glory. And so as the disciples gathered in scripture and they were having that the what we call the Last Supper, I'm not sure the disciples called it that. I'm not sure they knew what they were stepping into in that moment. They probably would have freaked out if Jesus said, all right, here we are at the Last Supper. But there was a moment where he washed their feet and he brought them to the table and he broke bread. And he said, this represents my body broken for you. And he took the cup and he poured it out. He says, this represents my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And I believe that there was something in that moment that brought strengthening to each and every person in that room in order to carry out the unique destiny that was put on their lives. And so for 2024, I want to run into this year looking at it as a unique opportunity to see the unique giftings and talents that the Lord has put not only in me, but to see it in the other people around me. To set our hearts in a place where we're able to be so closely connected to him that we actually see the creation that he's put inside each one of the people around us. Because I think communion sets this time apart in order for not only our hearts, but our minds and the process of re-sanctifying ourselves, setting ourselves apart in order to be able to see things the way God intended. So as we're entering or have entered 2024 at this point, I want to just take a minute and put this before the Lord. And as we take communion, just allowing the grace of the Father and the King to touch our eyes, to touch our hearts and our minds, and to understand fully the grace that was given to us at the cross, and to see all of creation as a unique demonstration of God's glory. And so, Father, today, this morning, as we step into communion, I thank you, Lord, for the body that was broken for our sins and the blood that was poured out for our forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that this morning you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Pray for the grace to be able to fully step into everything that is a part of our destiny and our calling, and the destiny and the calling of the people around us. And that as we interact with people, as we look at your creation, we would see your glory in all of it. And it would just continue to turn us into a place of worship, of worshiping the King of Kings. That we would never take this lightly. So, Father, we thank you for that opportunity to experience the fullness of that. In Jesus' name.
Good morning, and here we are going forward in 2024. This is an exciting time, and I also want to say Happy New Year again to you. We did meet last week, but for those who were traveling, welcome back, and hello to everybody who's online. We're excited about what's coming. Pastor Bill has an amazing message for this morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to release the kids to Kingdom Land and the teens to their teen class. And we just want to praise the Lord this morning and thank God for who he is. This past week has been so amazing, so many extremes. Some have gone home to be with the Lord. Some have had other challenges in their life. And some have received many miracles. Some have received many good things, lots of good news. So it's been a very extreme week already starting out for 2024. And for those of you who have been dealing with any kind of sorrow or grief, our hearts go out to you today because the Lord knows, he cares, he's with you, he's for you, he loves you, we stand with you, and we want you to know that our King is on the throne. And for those who are not in that realm right now and just excited about all things today, and maybe others who are experiencing some loss are still excited about today, and that's great. But for those who are in the place of receiving and walking through promises being received and promises being released and received, we say keep going, keep moving, keep our eyes forward, keep our eyes forward and up so that we're looking up, but we're looking forward, we're moving forward. Last week there was a message on the fact that this is the year of the open door. And it's a message, if you didn't get it, you want to receive that so that we're standing in unity with the body of Christ as the Lord is reminding us that he is the door. He is the open door. And even when we sing and we pray and we talk about the scripture that's behind us, open up ye gates, open up the doors, the Lord is saying, I am the door. And the gates of heaven, the gates of heaven are open to us, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. So the Lord is revealing himself in deeper ways in this season. It's not new to him, but it's new to the world in that he's saying, I am revelation. I'm making myself known. Seek me. Pursue me. Go after me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Don't be too busy. Don't be too caught up in whatever place any of us would be. As Lawrence said, we really want to see the giftings and the abilities and the gold in everyone being drawn out in this season. And that's really going to happen as we focus this year on Jesus as we never have before. There was a football game that was on yesterday, and I was kind of going back and forth through the house, and I don't know the name of the player. You guys are much better at that than I am. But it was a young man who had just experienced great gain, and he said, "You know, I give glory to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." And maybe he was nervous about doing that. I don't know. But as the person who was interviewing kept going, as he kept speaking, more things came up and out naturally out of his mouth. Not that that's not natural to say that, but he spoke about the Lord and being blessed. And I was thinking, that's just amazing. And you're on a high right now. You experienced a high. And that's great. But really, as we keep Jesus and our pursuit of Jesus as the number one priority, we will not have to go back and say, "Jesus, forgive me. I lost my first love." And if he's not your first love, this would be the time to say, "Jesus, I want to know you as the open door." So I really encourage that today. And one thing that, many things that were mentioned actually on Tuesday night and sung out so beautifully, which was from many things from 1 Corinthians 2. It was said that this is a very favorite verse of someone who was singing out. And it's my heart was really caught up with great attention there because it's so close to my heart as well. And at the cross, I bend my knee. I can remember the first time that the Lord really gave that to me, what country I was in, where I was, and it wrecked me. And I was on my knees, and I was crying out to the Lord. At the cross, I bend my knee. And so this verse that was spoken out and sung out, just want to use this to help ring in, continually ring in the new year. It's in 1 Corinthians 2, and it says, I have to find it here. "For I am determined." I love that. I'm a very determined individual. I believe you are here as well. "For I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And the year of the open door, as we have been studying the Word and praying and seeking the face of God, is loaded and really an exemplary a phrase, the open door, of these passages in Scripture. I didn't touch on these last week when I was giving the message, but I'm adding this because it is part of the revelation. What does it mean, the year of the open door? That sounds kind of strange, the year of the open door. I want to walk through any door that's open. I can't get through a door that's closed. Yes. So God is the one who opens the door, Jesus. But he is the door. So it's not just he takes a door and opens it and says, "Okay, go ahead." He is. So this is the year, a really important year in this decade that we have been studying and know a little bit about and want to know more as we go on through 2024, that this is the year of this is the decade of the mouth, which means that the Lord is saying, just open up. Don't be pulled back. Open up. Seek the King of Glory and let him come out of your mouth, because words are so powerful. And we're going to see the miraculous and the demonstration of signs and wonders and miracles. We're going to see them. We have to move in tandem with the Lord who wants to do that. He wants to reveal more to us, really, about the angelic realm and how the angelic realm is operating and is here to help us understand, to walk in dunamis power, to walk in dynamite power, to walk in the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. So this year, as we pursue Jesus in ways that maybe we haven't, even in our times with the Lord in the morning, our times with reflecting on how big he is. Pursue the intimacy, the closeness, where we're hearing him and not another voice. We don't want his voice, the Spirit of God inside of us, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God, to be confused in any way with another voice, our own voice, or the voice of something that sounds really good, really like, oh, it has to be God, but it's not. So the fear of the Lord, in the awe of God that's raising up this year all around the world, will become our portion. It's like, Lord, I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to feel you. And I want to live for you. Because it's not about me and what I can accomplish for you. It's about you and who you are revealing yourself to me. And out of that, I will accomplish things that will bless you, please you, and increase the kingdom of God. So as I was driving over here this morning, I kept hearing the word kingdom. I kept hearing the word release kingdom, release the idea and the word of kingdom. I don't know what Pastor Bill is preaching this morning, but may I offer that to us, that we can pray that out, that whatever we say, whatever we do, and even whatever our mind is stayed on, is revolving around the kingdom, and that as we are the light entering into darkness, then his kingdom explodes, and his kingdom will expand. His kingdom, which knows no end. His kingdom this year, 2024, as Jesus is the open door. The kingdom of God will prevail. The kingdom of God. That means that every person that we're around, every person that connects with us, every person that we have any kind of influence around or over, if you will understand that we are just dedicated to the Lord Jesus, and we carry the kingdom of God within. And everything that we're about is for him, for his glory, for his kingdom, because we're so close, it just oozes out of our eyes, our mouth, our ways. The ways of the kingdom would become so real to us even more, and that we'd be willing to hear and be willing to change whatever it is, so that we're thinking kingdom, we're believing kingdom, we're acting out kingdom for the Lord. And if we don't know what that is, if we put that before him, he is so good, he'll help us understand that. From the weeest, littlest person to the oldest person, it doesn't matter our age, it doesn't matter our stature in life. Kingdom is what really matters to the Lord. So, Father, we just thank you as we worshiped you this morning, as we broke bread, had communion this morning, Lord, that it's all about you and your kingdom. And, Father, that your kingdom would reign in this place, in our hearts, in our families, in our finances, in our realms of influence, in our jobs, in the choices that we're making, in all areas, what we call and refer to as ministry, whatever it would be, it would truly, truly, these areas would represent our closeness with you, our intimacy with you, the kingdom of you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, whatever that means to each one of us, Lord, that we would just say, Lord, I want to know you, and I want to know the power that you have and are inside of me. And Holy Spirit, I am determined to know nothing but you, first and foremost, and always, at the root, at the basis of who I am, of you, Jesus, crucified, that your blood was spilled for me, that I belong to you, that you raised from the dead, and that your dunamis power, as I know you, lives in me and is to be released in great signs and wonders this year. Your miracle-working power, which is your kingdom power. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. Thank you, Father, that we walk in your promises. Father, that we are so tethered to you, that we care about every part of who you are in us and those around us, and that we can definitely be used by you to influence others, as Paul said, not persuasive words out of his intellect, but from the place of who he became, knowing you, you, Jesus, crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. May the truth of the gospel of the kingdom be our portion that we stand on, stand in, and release to everybody around us in this year, the year of the open door, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And the children are released, and teens go to your class. You're not children. So everybody's going to the classes, and Pastor Bill has a message.
Snow is coming down. It's prettying things up. Lord, we look to you today, as always, but we want it to be fresh. Fresh for each person here, and Lord, our fresh expression of worship to you. You're all over that, Lord. We've had a time of worship already this morning. It's looking to you. It's being fervent in our prayers, fervent in our worship. And Lord, we know you've promised. You've given the word out across the earth. This is the year of the open door. Father, we'll probably have that tested because our doors need to be open before you open the doors of who you are and revelation of what you want to bring to the earth, your move on the earth. Our hearts need to be wide open to you. Jesus, let it be the year of the open heart for us. As you have the ear of the open door. Father, we love that you want to pour out on your children in this season on the earth, dreams, visions, pictures. You want to bring all of this revelation to us, revelation out of the Word of God, Holy Spirit speaking from inside to us to lead us, guide us, help us to be aligned with your will. And with your purposes. This is the key time. It's the last days, Lord. You're revealing that to us. You're showing that to us. You've previewed that in your word to us so that we would recognize it when it's coming in our time, and it is. Father, we need to be ready, open-hearted, more than ever, putting down our own stuff and taking up the needs and the hurts of others, Father, those that have lost loved ones, even this week. Jesus, they need us to come close, encourage, lift up, show our love, which is really from you. You're teaching us to love. We don't have a lot of our own unless we learn it from you, receive it from you, and give it out from you. Thank you, God. You're going to teach us this year like never before. We're going to receive, but more than teaching and receiving in general, we're going to have personal encounters with you, opening our hearts to you further so you can bring what we need in this day, wisdom right from you, blessing, favor. But because we're trying to bless and favor others, not just to heap it upon ourselves, Father. We want to worship you with pure hearts more than ever, God. That's inside of us. We're going to encourage each other to do that, God. That's so important. We can get into alignment much quicker with you if we worship, if we bow, if we go low, before you. If we say, not my way, but your way. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my thoughts, but your thoughts, which are so much higher, so much higher, so much higher than any of our thoughts or our collective thoughts together. If we took all our thoughts together, they would be so low compared to yours. So we seek your thoughts, your ways, aligning our hearts with them. Then favor will flow, and we'll reach the nations, and we'll reach the streets. People will come to know the Lord this year in numbers we've never seen. Yes, God, why? Because your heart is going out to the earth, calling them home. Come home now. Come home now. The time is now. Fill your lamps with oil. Don't despise my word anymore. Come close. Don't forget my word anymore. Come close. Don't just study it. If you do, walk it, live it, love it to live it. Jesus, we take your encouragement and we encourage one another. Go after your heart this year. Go after your heart this year with open hearts. And yes, the doors will open. We'll see them open. If we have closed hearts, we won't see the open doors. Jesus, it's true. We need you. You're the one that makes the open way obvious to others. They can't see it. God, we need to be attached to you to see it, to experience it, and see miracles, signs, and wonders right in our midst, right in our families, right in our neighborhoods. Yes, God, healings, deliverances of people that have been so strongly against you, haven't believed at all, maybe been doing the devil's work, and they'll turn this year because we will open our mouths and speak, and doors will open in people's lives and hearts. Jesus, you are fully the open door. We walk into you. We draw close to you. All the other doors will fly open. Yes, God, in their time, in your way. We give you glory today. You are high above us, and we're seeking you. We're here. We're seeking you. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought I'd get a stronger amen. Amen. Oh, good. I mean, it was starting the year out right. So we just, you know, everything must be stronger, more fervent, more smiles out there. Some of you look like you started the year with a little less than a smile on your face. There we go. Now, see, look, doesn't take much. Doesn't take much. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. The world and those who live in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend onto the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? One who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to deceit and has not sworn deceitfully. He will receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him. Okay, I heard a small amen back there. I heard it. Still small voice. This is the generation of those who seek him. Okay, we're going to get into it. I know we are. I know it's going to happen. This is something to shout at. This is the generation. This is the generation. This is the generation of those who seek him. I'm one of the generation that seeks him. I'm going after him this year in a whole new way. Not just shout about it, but live about it. Love about it. Speak about it. Yes, Lord. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. This says, open up the gates. So a couple of different meanings here, right? Lift up your heads, you gates. In other words, where do you see when you look up? You're going to look to heaven. You're going to look to God. And be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Oh, we want to say that together. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Amen. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, and lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of armies. He is the King of glory. Psalm 24. Just making sure we know who the King of glory is. And if any of us have even forgotten for a moment, we need this psalm to remind us. We need this time to remind us. God is still on the throne no matter what troubles we're facing. God is still on the throne no matter what concerns we're facing. He is still the one we should lift our eyes up to instead of putting our heads down when things are tough, when things are challenging, when there's loss. We need to still look up. So it says it, lift up, look up, open up. And then we'll see the doors open up this year in new things. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, I think it's been read a number of times. I've heard it as a theme in several different places. Do not call to mind the former things or consider things of the past. Behold, I am going to do something new. Now it will spring up. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I speak over you today. God will make a roadway in the wilderness for you this year. God will make a roadway in the wilderness for you this year. I say God will make a roadway for you personally this year in the wilderness. And even better, rivers in the desert. Some of the challenges you're facing, you feel like the river has flowed over you. And you're trying to get your head above water. But what he's going to do is bring those rivers into your desert, whatever desert place there's been. Maybe it's a dry soul. It's time to receive the river. That's the new thing. It's time for you to receive the river. You personally. I'm not saying you as a glump, as a glob. I'm talking to you individually. We're sitting down at a restaurant. I have my coffee. You have whatever you have. And I'm saying to you, rivers in your desert. Rivers in your desert. Yours. Why? Because he wants to do so much on the earth. He's got to bring a river to your desert so he can bring a river on the earth of healing, deliverance, people getting turned around, financial situations completely reversing for people. Pressure taken off of them and peace coming. So he's going to bring a new thing in new ways. We've already seen a preview of it here. There have been a couple of occasions that someone met somebody at a store. They said, why don't you come to church? You know how that goes. Oh, yeah, yeah, where is that church? Oh, yeah, yeah, up from Swenson's. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know that church. I drive by it every day to work. Yeah, I'll be by, I'll be by. Which century? I haven't seen them, the ones that told me that. But there were a couple that said, yeah, yeah, okay, I'll be there. And they came the very next service. They walked through the door. They were a little freaked out. I talked to them personally. Frontline, you can kind of get a little freaked out first time here, sometimes. I understand that. Sometimes somebody will be overcome by the Holy Spirit and they hit the deck. That can freak people out. They're thinking, what's wrong with this church? Can't they keep people standing? Can't they help them? Don't they see the problem when somebody hits the deck? Isn't that a problem? Most places, if you were at work, somebody hit the deck, you'd be calling 911. But they came in a little freaked out. But they heard the worship. Both came, I believe, on a Tuesday night. So most of the service on a Tuesday night is worship. We're worshiping God. And it tends to climb. And it tends to climb. Their hearts were touched. And both young men received the Lord by someone coming up to them and saying, hey, who are you? What's going on? Have you been used to this before? You ever had a relationship with Jesus or anything? I want to know the Lord. That was basically what they came up with. I want to know the Lord. I want to know the Lord. I want to know Jesus. It was not the long 3-year, let's get used to Christianity, get used to Frontline if possible in that process. It was just, bam, they wanted Jesus. They heard about Jesus from the worship, from the testimonies, whatever happened those nights. They wanted the Lord. You're going to face people like that. What are you going to do? If it's a new thing he's doing, you believe it? Because they're going to talk to you. They're going to ask you about the Lord. Do you have an answer for them? Do you have a testimony for them of how you came to the Lord? Can you give that in a short period of time that it's impacting? Can you tell them about a testimony so recent it will blow their socks off? Not something 10 years ago. Not something 15 years ago. But something last week that God did for you. New things. We have to have some new things to share, right? He's going to bring some new testimonies for you to share. He wants to bring those rivers into the desert. Roads into the wilderness. Roads into the wilderness. That's building. Building in your heart. Building you up. Ready for those people that are going to be open to the gospel. They could be in your family. Have you written them off? Well, that person's too hard, though. Every time I start to talk about Jesus, they get this look on their face, or they walk out of the room, and they go, again? Those people, they're going to come to Christ. I can see some in my own mind of family members. I've been a little too lacking in faith that they would come to Christ. What kind of foolishness is that? I came to Christ. I was in the wilderness. Way up there, physically in the wilderness when I came to Christ. I was among the pine trees and the snowbanks and total spiritual wasteland. And yet Jesus found me. Of course he's going to find your relative. He's been knocking at their door. If this is the year of the open door, guess who's going to open up? Some of those relatives. They're going to open their door to the real door. The door of life. Expecting? Are you expecting? Neighbors, friends, relationships. You should have the eyes of eternity ready, right? Ready at any moment to speak to them. As I go through Mark's or Walmart, You know, I live with an author. And there's this little pamphlet, Heart of the Father. And I use that I live with an author to talk to people. Go through the line at Mark's last night. And I said, do my transaction, make sure that they get their money before I bring up anything. And I said, hey, this is a gift for you. My wife wrote this. And the girl took it, and she looked at it, and she went, "Part of the fun? Oh, I go to church." And we start a conversation. I've had people in line, the guy behind the person in line, that I gave it to the cashier, and the person in line behind me, let me put it that way, they said, "Can I have one of those?" They were begging me for a pamphlet and looking at it as if it was treasure. A guy in Michigan got all kinds of decorations on. He had just graduated, obviously, because it was like 2023 written all over him, and celebration all over his body how he had just graduated. So, you're a recent graduate. Even I could figure that out. "Yes, well, here's a gift for you." "Oh, man, really?" A pamphlet, what we call a tract. I thought, should I explain to him that most people don't have this reaction? No, because he had tattooed on his arm about the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's a young guy. And I think he was waiting for someone to come through the line and give him something spiritual. People are much more open, and they're going to be. This last year was a preview of what's coming. And they're going to look in your eyes. They're going to ask you if you have the hope. I love that. It's on the way. It's coming down. So I was asking the Lord, okay, year of the open door. There's other passages we could go to. Revelation 4. Revelation 3:20, Revelation 4, the whole chapter. Revelation 3:20. And I was asking the Lord, if this year the open door, what else? And he said, Timothy. If you remember when Meltari was here, he pointed out Thomas, and he's done that a couple of years in a row, that Thomas doesn't deserve the knock of being doubting Thomas, like we think in the body of Christ. Because Thomas, although, he may have had a few struggles there at the beginning or at the end, however you look at it, when the living Christ had appeared to the others and he demanded that he see the holes in his hand, where the spear was in his side, and so on. Well, Meltari took that in a whole positive way. We tend to take it in a doubting Thomas way. But he took it in kind of a positive way. He wanted to be with the living Christ. If he's truly resurrected, I don't want to miss out. I want to be with him. I want to see him. If this is really happening, I want to be part of it. I want an encounter. So he took it in a positive way. Pretty cool. And then he said, Thomas, by tradition, was the one that went the farthest for the kingdom of God back in the early church. He went all the way to India. And even when you go to India today, there are many, many places that have a connection to Thomas, or they have Thomas on their church or whatever, because of the tradition of Thomas going the farthest of any of the disciples for the kingdom of God. So I thought that was kind of interesting. The name that I heard for this year is Timothy. And I thought back, Timothy is very dear to a lot of people, so on, and putting in position to meet the Apostle Paul. And he meets the Apostle Paul. He gets born again. The Apostle Paul is literally his father in the faith. And he follows the Apostle Paul from the second missionary journey on, and then gets established as a leader in Ephesus. And 1 and 2 Timothy are letters to this this young believer, which all of us are in that category, right? We're all young believers. I feel I'm a young believer still. I said, I feel I'm a young believer still. You're supposed to go, oh, yeah, we knew that. So he writes two letters, loving letters. Starts out 1 Timothy saying, basically, you're my son. This is intimate. This is endearing. Part of what's missing in the body of Christ, you know, they always say, unity. I went to a couple meetings already this year. Unity. We need unity. Unity. But unity doesn't really happen unless there's some kind of intimate relationship. I hear at pastors' meetings all the time, unity! And then they don't have time for a cup of coffee with each other. It takes a little bit of relationship to build the unity. We're supposed to maintain the unity that Jesus gave us. You know, good thing that we weren't the ones responsible for bringing unity to the church. Whew. He gave it to us. John 17. And said, maintain it. So we have this beautiful gift called unity. We're supposed to maintain it. We're supposed to keep it going. Well, how do you do that if you don't have closer and closer relationships? Because suspicions arise, or the enemy brings in division, or whatever it might be. But if you have enough intimacy, you can say to one another, you know, forgive me. Please forgive me. I messed up. We can ask for forgiveness. We can challenge people without them getting so offended. Leaders should be able to challenge, right? And be challenged. Goes two ways. But there should be some honor for those that have walked the road a long time, gone to the farthest places, or been on the streets, or whatever. And all of us are developing in our leadership. Leadership shouldn't be demanded. I don't think it has to. Should have the respect in order not to demand it. But you certainly can say, hey, please listen to this. It comes from a heart of being a father. And that's what happened with Paul and Timothy. He brings his love, but also instruction. With love comes the instruction. With love comes some, you know, things to watch for. Because Timothy was already being corrected. If you go with Paul on a missionary journey, you are going to be corrected. Mark tried it, couldn't hack it. And he left. And there were others that Paul mentions even in the first chapter of Timothy that left. They went for the world. And some may say, rather than work with Paul. I mean, he was a demanding dude. He was a strong character. And so Timothy hung in there. He went through the training. He went through the leadership program. And he came out with, you know, glowing colors. And Paul put him in charge of Ephesus, an up-and-coming church. And he said, watch out for this and look out for that. And, you know, remember this and take this to them and teach them this. Don't miss this and don't stop doing this. He gave him specific instructions. One of them that is very dear to me is in 2 Timothy 2:2. You've heard this a few times here. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. This is the Great Commission, the inner workings of the Great Commission. The Great Commission, just to remind you, is in Matthew 28. It's in here somewhere. Starting in verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, I would submit to you that every person is to be involved in that. And that's why those people in front of you that now have more open hearts than ever, and you'll also see the opposite, won't you? You'll see some that have just gotten so hard that they cannot respond. But I'm saying there's going to be some that you thought were too hard that suddenly open. And you're going to be the one to speak to them. There won't be a pastor in the area. There won't be somebody else that you'd like to say, "Well, how about you explain it to them?" It's going to be you. And it could start something new for you in the Great Commission. Maybe you've turned that over to leaders. Maybe you've turned that over to the fiery ones. "Oh, that guy, man, he's an evangelist. He just wants to talk to everybody about Jesus." Have you ever tried it? I've taken example from some evangelists that are far more gifted than I am to gain in evangelism, to gain in sharing the gospel. I think it's time. When are we going to share the gospel if it isn't the year of the open door? Right? This is the time to step in if we've not done that much. We've heard a lot of people talk about it. Frontline takes their mission trips. We go down to the streets, all of that. We go to the inner city. But are you personally sharing your faith with those around you? You're going to have fruit this year. It's just going to happen. "Well, I'm afraid, and I don't think I can explain the gospel." You are the gospel because of Jesus. You are the gospel. Tell them what's happening with you in Jesus. That's what the gospel is. You were saved by him. You were probably delivered by him to be here today in this group. You were delivered out of some stuff, some wrong thinking beyond just being born again. And you've started a journey with him. You've had encounters with him. Start sharing those. Share those. "Because the things which you've heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." If you don't start the first step of that, how are we ever going to get the gospel out the way it's supposed to be? How are we going to multiply the Great Commission? And as I speak it to you, I'm encouraging myself to do it far more. I have lots of opportunities. As a pastor especially. "Oh, you're a pastor. They think you know something more than every other person on earth at times." And it's not what I know. It's who I know. So I have to connect them with the who I know. What does it matter if they're connected with me so much? They need to be connected with the who I know. And when I do that, then let's get rid of the titles. And let's talk turkey about Jesus. Let's talk truth about Jesus. Let's tell them about Jesus. And some of you are reaching out to do that. I'm not saying no one's doing it here. That's crazy. Of course you are, but I'm saying you're going to have more open people in front of you this year. Are you ready? Are you ready? It says in Isaiah 43, you're kind of supposed to be aware. This is going on. New thing. Be aware. We're going to help you be aware. I love this in 1 Timothy 4, 12. Again, a father telling a son in the spirit, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." So I had an opportunity to pray at a prayer meeting to start the year off with a number of other leaders. And they graciously gave me the area of youth to pray after I asked for it. I asked and they said yes. And I said to them before I started praying, so often we pray about the youth that are wayward. And there are a lot of them. They're everywhere. Wayward youth, right? So we spend our prayer time praying about the wayward. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's a good thing. But how about we pray into the ones that are actually going after Jesus? They're going to need a lot of prayer in this time. Let's remind ourselves, we had three young men, 14-year-olds, go with their fathers to Brazil in June on a mission trip. It's a whole circle of a thing in Frontline that we started with many teenagers, and some of you grew up, thank the Lord. I had to get that in there, you know. You could say the same to me, but you probably won't, because I look back at some of the pictures and I think of some of the things we shared back then, and I'm like, wow, some people hung with us. Are you kidding me? Good thing they were teenagers. They didn't know any better. But it's a full circle in Frontline of coming back to the teenagers being involved in ministering to the max. Streets with Green Light Missions and First Friday, and to the nations in Brazil with those three teenagers in the summer. And oh, by the way, I think we have a family down there right now. And they have four children. And they're in the nation of Brazil. The Larson family is down there as we speak. Troy is speaking at Casa de Jesus this morning, we hear, with our family down there. And the boys have been busy. When we talked to Rachel, she said, you know, we looked at this as a missication, you know, a mission trip vacation, and it's been more mission trip than vacation. And I thought, she's telling people that like to hear that. So pray for them. They come back on Thursday, but they're down there right now, and the boys are in the community, ministering in the community with their parents. Think of that. That is such a privilege. Such a privilege to hear that a family would be open to doing that. And, you know, there are many families here that are looking to that for the future, I'm sure, in some way, shape, or form. And there'll be more going to Brazil as they turn whatever age that we decide to take them. And they go with, some of them will go with their parents. Some will go on mission trips. Think of that. In the year of the open door. Wow, the possibilities are amazing. So I do, Father, pray into their speech, these open young people that are loving you, that are caring about you. And yes, they're young, but we need to pour into them. We're the generation that can pour into them. You're looking for someone to pour into and you don't know one? Find a young person and just speak to them for a few minutes. Speak some Jesus to them for a few minutes. That's an easy one in this body. We pray for their speech, God. It would be pleasing to you that they would tell their friends at school about beautiful Jesus. In conduct, God, that they would not just keep the rules. They would want to be with your heart towards people. Love people, God. Thank you for that, Lord. In love, we pray for them in love, God, that they would love purely. They'd love with your love, not their own. None of us have enough love to love unless we get it from you, unless we learn it from you. You can impart love to us so we can love others. Father, we pray for the young people that we know, both in this body and in with our partners overseas and here. The young people that are going after your heart, we pray into them, Lord, that they would learn how to love, that they would give of themselves, like the Larson boys are doing right now this morning. They're going to be giving of themselves. Troy and Rachel won't let them just sit in those pews in Casa de Jesus. They're going to be loving on people. Thank you, Lord. And as they have a gathering this afternoon, that they would just be able to challenge one another. Iron sharpen iron, even as they have a Shahaskaria, Lord, at Inez's. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. In faith, God, build up the faith of our young people to believe for incredible things, God, way beyond our means, way beyond their means, way beyond their family's means, way beyond frontline's means, that they would have faith for great exploits for the kingdom of God. They would challenge us as adults with their faith. Some of the smallest ones in here have challenged some of us in faith towards healing. That's the truth. And Lord, we're responding, and they're responding to you as well. We pray for them, God. We pray for purity. Jesus, what a mark of this age. If they can be pure, they will immediately be an example to other young people. If they can be pure in their beliefs about male and female, they can be pure in their beliefs about who Jesus is without having some plastic Jesus or some Jesus that's not really the real Jesus. Lord, teach them well. We know you will. Use us. Use us, Father. And we pray for them. We pray for them. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that they would not become arrogant because they know something about Jesus. Lord, that we could look upon their youthfulness and not look down on their youthfulness because they're so humble. God, bring them that humility that we would show them proper respect, Father, for being a fellow carrier of Holy Spirit, a fellow carrier of the gospel. And let us not think too low of them, God. They have been on the streets, many of them, preaching, putting their hands out to heal, and people have come to know the Lord on the streets. People have been healed at First Friday and Greenlight Missions, God, and other places as they put their hands out to pray for someone. They have no junior Holy Spirit. So we pray, God, we would take our responsibility to shepherd that, God, to guide that, Lord, in these special young people. They're special after your heart. How can we say special? Because Caleb and Joshua were considered special because they had an unusual spirit to go after you, because they were humble. They humbled themselves, and you brought an increase of the Holy Spirit. We pray that for each one, God, of the young. And Lord, we are involved in the process. Show us how we can raise them up, how we can pour into them. If we're weary because we've poured into them and we're weary of that, give us new strength. It's always available through Holy Spirit, new strength. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we go ahead and pray for all of us, Lord. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent in one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility, consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. What I would say from this to us all, and I would be at the front of the line, if God is opening the door and we open our hearts to receive whatever he is opening up to us, and if that open door really is Jesus bringing revelation to us, bringing encounters to us, bringing all the things from Joel 2 and Acts 2 about dreams, visions, pictures, communication with God, new levels of it, new intensity of it. If he's bringing all of that to us, we can't just take it for ourselves. I know we say it a lot, but we have to be intentional on not just taking the blessings of God for ourselves. We need to spread it around this year. I said it at the beginning, I said it in the middle, and I'm saying it at the end. We need to look at others, even when we're having difficult trials ourselves, when we are having things that seem way over our head, when we're on the edge of the boat wondering if, wow, can I walk on water or not with the help of Jesus that I'm looking at? When we're wondering about those things for our own problems, our own trials, our own situations, God is calling us more than ever in this year of the open door to open our hearts to others and put them first. Many of us in this fellowship have been blessed over and over and over again. We've been blessed by others in this fellowship. Someone helping us out one way or another, whether it be spiritually, whether it be emotionally, whether it be financially, just a lot of love expressed. And I know we give to the nations, and I love it, and we'll never stop. We give to other ministries. So this is one of those unusual mornings where Pastor Bill does something really crazy, and I'm asking you to understand. And I see some of the smiles in your face. Some of you know of these crazy things. The whole hilarious giving opportunity is a crazy, crazy thing that the Lord just said, write that up each month, put it out there, and just tell people, ask Holy Spirit. If you knew how many thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars have come from the generous hearts of people towards the nations, towards people in this fellowship, you'd be astounded. I'm astounded. Sometimes before I get off the platform and put my foot on the floor, well, I guess sometimes I take the stairs. A little more often now, maybe. I don't know. Half the need is met. It's on my phone. We just passed out the sheets. The kids passed out the sheets. If you think that's a push that you have to give, then you don't know what push is. Because we don't want that. We want Holy Spirit to be the one to inspire it within you to be a generous giver. You say, well, I don't have much to give. You can still be generous. Just within your generosity. Within your ability to be generous. That's generous. Remember the woman with the two, she was considered the most generous of all. So it's not how much you have or how much you give. It's whether you're in tune with Holy Spirit. So we face one of those opportunities. And I can't wait to just make it fun. I remember a number of years ago, we had a secret giving. It was before Hilarious Giving. In fact, it probably inspired Hilarious Giving. We didn't say who the person was, who the couple was, actually. They were outside of Frontline. We gave you that much. And that they had a need. And they needed it filled in kind of in a hurry. And I don't know how much detail I gave beyond that, but we didn't give the person's name. We didn't go into a whole lot of detail about the situation, wanted to cover them. And you met the need. You met the need for them. In fact, I think you went a little over the need. Doggone it. Can't you pay attention to instruction? And they were so blessed, they took care of that very pressing need, and it was something at their house. You know, they're in ministry. It's at their house. Something they actually needed at their house done, or things would fall down. Crazy. Gave very few details. Money came in. That person came to this fellowship and on their own decided to thank you and the Lord for meeting that need. And that mystery person was revealed. So that whole thing about the mystery singer, they got the idea here. Yep. Because they came forward and blessed God, thanked God, and also thanked those of you that gave towards that. Well, I didn't give to that need. You're making me feel kind of bad. You got plenty. There's plenty. Okay? Don't feel bad. There's plenty. So, you know, you're the open door. We can look at this as giving into a basket, you know, that we're going to meet the need of a family here in Frontline. And we could be looking into a basket and say, okay, giving to the Lord and giving to this need. It's a mystery. They aren't giving me any details. But it's a desperate need. It's a dire need. It's not like we can do it a month from now. It has to be kind of done now. And it's the kind of situation that is embarrassing, possibly, if we were to just, you know, blab this need everywhere. But I'm trusting each of you as they trusted me, as they trusted some counselors within Frontline. They shared openly their need. And, you know, humbling thing. It's a big need. So we can look at it as a basket and say, okay, I'll put in what I'm supposed to put in, Holy Spirit. Maybe we get to that place, and then he says, oh, did I tell you just a little bit more? Or did I tell you double it? How many have had that experience? I certainly have. I start with an amount, then the Holy Spirit has his own amount in mind. Amen? So we can look at it as a basket, putting into a basket, and it is. And it's a giving, and it's hilarious giving, and you know the whole deal that we talk about that. Or we can look at it as washing the feet of the faithful. This couple's faithful. And they're humble. And they didn't know I was going to do this. And no idea. And they have a big need. And we have the opportunity to wash their feet. That includes Pastor Mary Pat and myself and anyone in here that wants to participate in that. Again, this is not a pressure thing. This is a washing the feet thing. So if at some point, you know, you catch wind of it, Frontline's a small place. I don't care if you catch wind of it. I don't, because I trust you that you're going to look at it the right way. What about our needs? You could say. Look back and see how many times God came in and met your need. Right? Sometimes in pretty desperate situations. And no one's to say that whatever needs that I don't know about in here today are going to be met. In the same way, or a different way, it'll probably be a different way, than what's happening this morning. Don't you think this is exciting, though? That at the beginning of the year of the open door, we get a chance to open our hearts and see what Holy Spirit wants us to do to open our wallets. Without pressure, without, you know, hey, you got to do this. Hey, it's a big need. I'm not under pressure. And I don't want anyone in here to be under pressure. I want you to hear. You don't do well under pressure hearing. I don't know if you know that. You don't. It's a good thing that Moses was praying when his back was against the Red Sea. It's a good thing he was praying because God could stop him right away and speak to him what he was to do. Rather than seeing that army come and he's looking at that army and fear starting to take hold of him. You with me? It was a good thing he was praying and God could say to him, stop. Now listen, here's the answer. Because prayer is supposed to be answered. It's supposed to be a communication. And that's what we like, right? So if you're new here today, which there are some, welcome to the family of God and to the family that cares about family members. And, you know, you're probably like, I got 1,000 questions. Lay those to the side. We're going to actually take 5 minutes. We're going to ask Holy Spirit. Maybe he's already laid it on your heart. You know, you don't have to forget that. I'm glad. But this is an opportunity for you to take 5 minutes and just ask Holy Spirit, what should I do towards washing the feet of a faithful couple and giving hilariously to the Lord? What should I do? And you may need to talk to somebody, you know, one of your spouses isn't here, all that, you know, that's fine. But it is a pressing need. So if you can text me or get in touch with me, I would be the person to contact. You can even ask questions on an individual basis. Okay, I understand. It's an unusual thing. But I'm telling you, this is a fun way to start the year. You thought giving was at Christmas? It's time to give in the open door. Time in the open door, amen? So let's just pray quickly, and then you can ask Holy Spirit again. Please, if you're feeling pressured, then tell him about that first. And let's get rid of that whole deal. Because nothing good is accomplished with pressure from the front. Only leadership from the front. Only fathership from the front. Father, we look to you. We thank you, God, that you're more than able to meet this need. You have a name for it, Jehovah Jireh. We're not intimidated by big financial needs. But wait a minute, I don't even know the number that we're shooting for. Well, ask Holy Spirit. He will shoot your number. That's the one you really need to know about. And Lord, if we go over like we did with Pastor Moss years ago, Lord, they were thrilled because, of course, there were extra expenses they didn't know about in the project of building that wall. The wall was falling down, and you built it back up just like Nehemiah. There were so many spiritual implications for Frontline, for our own lives, God, as we found out his testimony of it. God, it was just beautiful. We pray that the body of Christ will work this way in the year of the open door, and we can just celebrate it and wash one another's feet. Go beyond ourselves. Not think of our own interests, even though they may be heart-consuming. We would think of the interests of others. We take this 5 minutes before you, and we know that there'll be collateral blessing for us in the process. It's promised. But we won't concentrate on that. We'll concentrate on speaking and hearing from Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, 5 minutes. You can take longer, of course, but like the desert waits for the rain. Like
child at the end of the day. I know you'll come through. I trust what you say. As a treasure no one can take. Every word so steady and safe. You'll always come.
Okay, so this can be kind of a pledge, and then whenever you need to turn it in, if you want to turn in a check today, and you're part of, you know, the Holy Spirit has said, yes, you're supposed to be part of this, then you can put the check in the box in the back, just put on there for the project or something like that, anything like that, couple project, financial project, we'll make sure that it's part of the overall check that we write out from Frontline to them. And if it comes in waves, we'll do it in waves. And this is the only hilarious giving project for the month. But the need is kind of right now. So if you don't know how to take care of that kind of thing, you're new here, whatever, then just write on an envelope your pledge and say it's for the couple project or the financial project. And you can put the envelope in the back, and you can fill that envelope at any time. Like if you need to get something and you don't have it today, you can bring it in Tuesday or next week or whatever. As long as we know what the pledge is, we'll honor that and give that to the couple. Probably very confusing. Carly actually is the one that can make things very clear. Can you stand up, Carly? So you can ask her about how to give, where to give, what to give. Not what to give. Okay, well, Holy Spirit for that. But the mechanics will be, if you have some questions, you can ask Carly and she'll set you up. And if you have any questions about the nature of the project, you can talk to me personally, one-on-one, or a couple-on-one, or something like that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We bless your name. We pray that not only would we wash the feet of this couple this year, but each other and every person you're going to put in front of us, because we're going to have the gospel to wash their lives with. Thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.